Okay. So Tim gave you the topics, perseverance. Let me ask you, when you hear the word perseverance, persevere, what does that entail? What does that mean to you? To persevere? What thought that comes to mind? Anything?
Don't give up.
Keep on moving, keeping the faith. Yeah.
Hold on.
Hold on? Yeah, hold on. Yeah.
Just not letting the obstacles stop you.
Okay, not letting obstacles. Obstacles talks about something going on around us, right? Yeah. So perseverance has to have some kind of a setting with some sort of a background or circumstances or something like that. You don't really use the word persevere. Oh, I had to persevere through,
a good breakfast,
and that just doesn't fit.
Right.
Now, if somebody else hadn't prepared the breakfast, we might have had to persevere through that breakfast. You know, just out of common courtesy. But that wasn't the case in this situation. The word doesn't fit. You know, through a nice breakfast. What else about perseverance? What do you think of? What comes to mind? Anything else? Okay, a mindset. It's a mindset. Okay, yeah, it's not just a physical activity. Yeah. Determination. What else? Some of you young guys, have you ever had to persevere through anything yet? I bet you have. What does it mean to you to persevere? To be strong. Yeah. That's right.
Critical thinking.
Yeah, it's critical thinking. Yeah, because you can get confused. If the circumstances get tough enough, you really can't get sort of thrown off and confused. And you gotta get your mind sort of... Yeah. Gotta get your mind. You rationally approach it. There's a lot involved, you know.
Yeah. I think it's too involved with decision, conscious decision.
Yeah, your decision. You bet. You don't just have, oh, wow, I didn't realize I was persevering.
Yeah.
Oh. No, you weren't. You weren't, yeah.
We're not going with the crowd.
Okay.
So the crowd might be going in one direction, but you got your eyes fixed, like in relationship to Jesus, your eyes are fixed on Jesus, and he's not going with the crowd.
Good point. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I think about that movie, the rugby team that crashed in the 70s, I think it was.
Yeah.
And the Andes had to live. Almost a whole year up there in the Andes, survived.
Yeah.
I can't remember what Golden Eyes or something like that. They just came out with it, yet another version of it.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Just to survive. Not all of them made it, a lot of them did, but the ones that did, they persevered.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I think a big part of it, too, is facing fears. I mean, just a fear of failure, you know, fear of just, you know, even when you are defeated, just being able to get back up again.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. This perseverance is that word, you can't just throw that word around. You know, if we overuse it, it kind of cheapens it. It's something serious. It's serious business to persevere.
Yeah.
It's not a joke. It's not just something you wake up one day and you're just persevering. It takes a lot. There's a preparation. It's a multi-dimensional kind of idea that comes from within. It has to apply to the circumstances. It's something that we will all experience, and we'll experience it in different ways throughout our life. We just will. It takes a lot of patience to persevere as well. Now, sometimes when we think about that word, and I want us to today I want to hit the obvious, which means, you know, you just got to hang in there to persevere. And sometimes we hear this word, and we hear the way James says it. He says something like this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Now, sometimes when I hear that, it just sort of irritates me a bit. Because it just sounds like sort of the old, well, you're going through a tough time, hey, Suck it up, buttercup. You know, just keep going, you know. All right, let's move on to the next thing, you know. You're going through a tough time. Well, consider it pure joy. Well, yeah, that's easy for you to say. You know, who are you? One of Job's friends or something? You know, it's like... So it's just sort of like, okay. And James is kind of like that. He just kind of black and white, just kind of puts it out there. But you can't come to somebody that's going through a difficult time in their life and just walk up and say, hey, you just went through something terrible. Well, just consider it pure joy, because it's gonna you're gonna be better off in the end. Okay, what else is going on? That doesn't do much for most humans. Now I'm not down on James. He's a brother of Jesus. You know, I don't want to say anything bad about him, but I'm just saying this particular line doesn't help me if I'm trying to muster up something to keep persevering. I think something that does help, though, has to do with our attitude and motivation behind it.
Yeah.
Because when I read James, I think about it sort of like I was reading it. I think about how I digested this as a young person. You know, maybe that 18-year-old that Tim knew. By the way, Tim tells stories. He's a better storyteller than I am. I'm not sure what to attribute that to, either his lack of clear memory, lack of devotion to the facts. I'm not sure what it is. But he ends up in a better product when he tells a story. I'll admit that. His fishing stories, a lot of things end up, you know, a lot better, you know. His athletic exploits. I mean, you can just go on and on. I mean, but he's a wonderful storyteller, no question about it.
I'm trying to get elected into the Lion
King. We had a meeting this morning and elected him again president of the
Lion King. Yeah. And that's unanimous.
But, you know, I think about my life, and I hadn't had anything to really persevere through too hard at 18. And so I hear a lesson on perseverance, and James was perfect. Yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, lifting weights. It's kind of hard, but if you keep doing it, you'll get stronger. Yeah, okay, great. Let's keep persevering. And that's about as deep as it went, you know, at that time in life. Well, you know, that's just, the Lord knew that I just maybe was a weaker person. He just hadn't let me go through that much tough stuff yet. But eventually that didn't cut the mustard. And you got to find out a little bit more about what's going to motivate you to persevere. Because you got to have the right attitude, the right mood. You might even know the right thing to do. But if you don't have some sort of a motivation, then it's going to be hard to do it. I mean, we all know that if you eat healthier and work out more often, you'll be healthier. We all know that. But and so does everybody in America. But it doesn't mean we're all doing it, right? And it's even tougher to persevere through a tough time. That's even tougher. So I think about the passage in Romans 8, and that's what we're going to be thinking about today, is it's a well-loved, well-known passage. Romans 8:28. And at this juncture in the letter, Paul says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose."
Amen.
Now, I think it's important for us to just consider, and we'll just do a quick run up to this point in the letter of Romans. Romans starts off, and Paul says, "I am excited about what I'm doing, and excited about what my life is all about," and even tell you right off the bat what this letter is about, and that is the good news, the gospel. It's the good news that God's power will save us. And it saves us from faith unto faith. From the first step until the last step of being right with God, it's by faith. I sort of think about it from the day you get baptized and you get started to the last day before you die. Every step of the way, it's by faith.
Yeah.
It's not by your pedigree, not by your achievements. It's not by your performance. It's by faith. All the way through, it's by faith. Then he goes along and he says, now let's sort of set the stage. The stage is this: whether you're religious or not religious, Jewish or not Jewish, you're all a mess. You're all sinners. And every person in this room right now that had breakfast, whether you're... Who's our youngest fellow here? How old are you?
Tyler.
8 years old. Tyler's already a little sinner. You know, ask his parents. He's a little sinner.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, and you go right around to the oldest guy here. I'm not sure who it is. I mean, Al's an old sinner.
Yeah.
And everybody in between. I don't care whether your hair is short, gone, gray, what? You're sin. We're sinners. We are a wreck. Religious sinners, non-religious sinners, we are just a wreck. And he says, that's just the way it is. And then he moves on, he says, but the great news is, whether you're rotten on the inside, on the outside, religious, not religious, you're going to be able to be right with God through faith. And so we're saved by faith. We're saved through faith. It's not works, it's not our heritage. There's good news. That's the whole good news. And then he goes along and he kind of develops this, how it sort of works a little bit. But then he stops and it sort of acknowledges in Romans 7, he says, but listen, I'll tell you what, it's a struggle all the way through. It's by faith from the beginning to the end. It's struggling from the beginning to the end too.
Yeah.
Because as you get started and in the middle and half, part way and a little further and all the way probably, I guess, to the end, there's things you know that are right to do, and you're committed to do it, and you turn around, I'm not even doing it. And the very thing I don't want to do, good night, there I go again, you know, I'm doing it. Is there some age when this stops? Is there some...
No.
It just... No.
No.
Not yet, at least, Al.
No,
not yet. So he acknowledges that it's a tough, tough, tough life. But then he introduces the idea that not are we just saved by grace through faith. Yes, it's tough. And it's tough to even live up to what we are being given. But now God will enter in even better, in a more personal way with His Holy Spirit and aid us and begin to transform us and begin to help us. He says, so you're going to be saved by God. Your part is, basically, you're struggling a tough fight all the way through. But God, through His Spirit, will join you in that struggle, and He'll never leave you. Through the ups, through the downs, He's never, ever going to leave you alone. You may feel like you ought to get cut from this team, but God's not going to cut you from the team. You may feel like everybody else on the team thinks you're the scrub. You're still on the team. You might think you're the best player on the team, but you're probably really not. But you're not getting cut from the team for that either. He says, I'm with you always as intimately and personally as the God who has created every moment of your life. Every moment, most of which you've already forgotten. He says, I'll never leave you. My Spirit will never leave you. I'm with you. And it's out of all of that, the mess, the salvation, the hope, the recognition of the struggle, the joining of God's Spirit with us, that then Paul says, because of all of that good news, and so with the Spirit of God and the future glory, we know that God works all things out for the good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose.
Yeah.
I think back to when my grandmother died, and I was there with my grandfather, and Tim even knew these folks. We've eaten together in their house a few times back when we were college kids. And I remember Daddy Paul, we were talking about him losing. It was a sudden loss. She hadn't been sick, and she just died of a stroke, kind of bam. You know, woke up from a nap and died. And he referred to this passage Romans 8:28. He says, it's not always easy to see, but I believe it. And he had been a really important influence for me to follow Jesus. And I was watching him struggle and wrestle with scriptures like this. And he said, you know, I don't really see this right now, but I believe it. And I think about what can allow us to persevere. To me, it's a little bit like going into the doctor. You've got something that has got you scared. Maybe it's a big lump that you've discovered. Something that is just brings up everything that you can imagine the worst of, and then you Google it, and it's looking even worse. And you're so anxious. And you go in to see the doctor, and the doctor explains to you, oh, this is no problem at all. I can take care of that before you leave. It's an in the office. We don't have to go to across the street to the hospital. I can take care of this right now. Boom, boom, boom. You'll be fine. And you walk out almost in the same condition, but your entire attitude has just completely changed. I used to always read these scriptures, have faith, persevere, as commands that I had to somehow muster up the strength to do. Kind of the idea of like, it's like just a contest to see who can hang on the bar longest. You know, in the last 10 that are still hanging, you know, make it. You know, and all the others just end up going to hell or something. I don't know. You know, but it's that kind of thing where it's like, persevere. That's kind of what it meant to me. It was like, just keep trying harder, you know, and try harder and harder and maybe kick the guy next to you, you know. But it's not that way. The perseverance that we're talking about is a gift. It's a gift that says, hey, you can live through this. That all of this stuff in life, some of it's wonderful, some of it's terrible, but you can persevere, not because you're one of the toughest men in the room, not because you pray longer than anybody else on average, you know, every day, not because you have more scriptures memorized. That's not it. That's not what perseverance really is. It's that you have been given the gift to really understand that God picked you.
Yeah.
He chose you.
Yeah.
He brought you into His family. And your story's got its own percentage of pain and anguish in it, because all of us do. Some more, some less. Some more violent, some less violent. But that God has got you, and He's grabbed you, and He says, listen, I'm with you. I'm never leaving you. Persevere. And yes, you're going to go through some hard times, but just hang in there through these tough times, and it's going to do something even more beautiful down the road. I know it doesn't make sense now. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt just as bad. But with that perspective of God Himself, your Creator, saying, I'm with you, you're going to get through this, there's something wonderful ahead, that'll give you the strength to persevere. See, God's at work in every one of our lives, and He knows every intimate detail of your life. He knows the pain, He knows the failure, the mistakes. I think about, if you just think of your own life, I think about my life. I think about a young couple who got married, getting ready to start their family, and it's not working. Not getting pregnant here. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the road. That's not something you wish on any of your children if they are not unable to have kids. It's a sad story. It's anguish. It's heartache. But that was my parents. I think about another young lady. Heads off to college. First person in her family, I think, to go to college. But one of the first weeks of college, goes to a party, has too much to drink, ends up in bed with some guy. Uh-oh. She didn't want to get pregnant, unlike my mom and dad, but she gets pregnant. What now? Nobody wishes that on their sister, their daughter. But that happens. So pain and pain, anguish, shame. And lo and behold, that combination turns out to be my first great blessing in life that I can point back to. That's me being born and me getting adopted into another family. So today, as I stand here, my name is because of that pain. Where I grew up and all the stories I have to tell is because of somebody's loss, another person's loss, but then God brought those together, grafted me into a family called last name Harrigan. Got stories to tell about grandparents and great-grandparents. It wouldn't have been my grandparents or great-grandparents had that sad situation not happened. But see, somehow, I just see, okay, I guess that's an example of God working all things out for good. You see that beginning to go. But then, as you go along, you know, sometimes things happen and you don't see how it works out. I have there's a man I know who grew up in a family who suffered terrible, terrible abuse and violence at the hands of his own dad. Unspeakable abuse. Torturous abuse. I'm not kidding. I wouldn't share the details. But it's as bad as anything I've ever heard of in my life, with threats of death to a young kid if he ever let this stuff out, while all the while maintaining the appearances of an upstanding community member with a successful career. And yet somehow this man, this friend of mine, has allowed God to somehow redeem that evil. And I can kind of paint a little happy ending to a freshman girl getting pregnant and giving up her child for adoption and me being, you know, the blessed person. That's sort of a little easy story to a happy ending. We've adopted a couple of children, and some of them had some tough beginnings. But I can see how that might be working out to a happy ending. But in this situation that I'm thinking of, I can't even fathom a happy something. What I don't understand what redeems that. It just seems to me like something terrible, terrible that happened to somebody who didn't deserve it. But even in that situation, his faith in God, his compassion for other people, his love for his friends, somehow God is working in his life, and it's a wonderful thing to see. If I think about it, I still feel very emotional and sad that he ever went through that. And some of you have gone through some things unspeakably terrible in your lives. There's been things completely unfair that have happened to you. And I don't know how you explain that. And maybe there is no explanation for some of it. I don't think Job ever got to a point where he could just really explain his story in a way that sort of like is a happy ending. It's like, well, yeah, I got 7 more kids, but Job was faithful. Job persevered. And Job didn't always just sing happy songs, though, did he? And I think that's a part of what perseverance, that we need to understand, that we're in good company when we air out all of our complaints with God. That's part of persevering. We're in good company with Job. We're in good company with the psalmist. We're in good company with a lot of the heroes of the Bible. When we take the toughest times of our life, the times when we feel like quitting, the times when we feel like throwing in the towel on commitment we've made, a promise we've made, a marriage commitment we've made, a vow that we've made to God. I mean, there's a lot of times, almost everything around us is saying it's time to quit. But if we really believe that God is with us, in spite of despicable unexplainable unfairness, disadvantage. Or you put the name on it that only you know because it's only yours to bear. That there may not be any answer, really, other than just turning to God and accepting that God is with you and He will be with you perfectly through however bad it gets. We're going to wrap up here. And I want to ask that you would think about this for just a minute. Here's a quote by somebody I've not read much of, but I read this. He was being quoted by someone else, and it just grabbed me. Somebody named F.B. Meyer. Probably wrote this 100, 150 years ago. I don't know. But here's what he says. He says, unbelief puts our circumstance between us and God. But faith puts God between us and our circumstances. So you imagine your circumstances. That's kind of whatever hand you dealt and you're living with right now. Some of it's good, some of it's tough. Whatever it is. Whether it's a job opportunity that's going to pay you five times what you are used to making, or whether it's the loss of a dear loved one. It's your circumstance. And how you view this, here's my circumstance, here's God. If I get so focused on my circumstance here, what does it do? It obstructs my view of God, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah.
And it reminds us of Peter, who jumped out of the boat because he was looking at God. But then, you know, these waves, the circumstances kind of kept getting his attention off. And before he knew it, all he could see was the circumstance because they had become between him and God.
Yeah.
And he began to sink.
Yeah.
Or you think about the rich young man who was sort of getting a glimpse at God there, and then God said, hey, here's what I want you to do. And then all of a sudden, yeah, but I got some circumstances, which is a really very nice portfolio and bank account and lands. And all of a sudden, he began to lose touch with Jesus. So, if we're going to persevere, we have to constantly fight the battle of whether it's something that makes you mad, something that makes you sad, something that causes you want to quit, something that causes you want to compromise, and keep bringing God back so that we see God between us and our circumstances. And that God will direct us, whether it's walking in the water, whether it's giving up something for God, whether it's enduring a dark time in our life. And as we do that, it doesn't mean that we just say, hey, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. We join company with the greatest heroes of faith who honestly put all of their complaints out there for God, even let them be written down for all of us to take courage from in the future. And ultimately, our greatest inspiration, who we want to fix our eyes on, Jesus, who in his darkest hours was brutally honest. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then he breathed his last. Those are the words of the perfect man of faith, Jesus Christ. I sort of, if I was writing a story, I would have rather had it in up a little bit more like Braveheart. You know, like, freedom! And then they take my life. You know, some little outburst of defiance. But not Jesus. He was just honest with his pain, real, and faithful to the very end. And there is the promise that God will be with us always. That as we persevere, that he will make this life and the life to come all that it's meant to be. Amen. And so that's for us today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks.
Man, thank you, Randy. What a great way to lead us into communion. Amen. Why don't we grab the elements, and then we'll pray. And
Did you want to hear the song?